So me have to work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. So me better work, 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 work. When you walk a la, 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 la. I'm in the cafe, my dirt, 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 dirt.
And welcome back to Witworks Radio. It is Tuesday, January 21st, and this is Abby Pober from the Center for Cooperative Education and Career Development, and I'm here joined by two fantastic colleagues.
It's Rhea Kalinowski, back again.
And we have a very special guest today with us, Eric Schoen Ukre.
Hello.
Could you mind sharing your title?
Sure. I am the Director of Alumni and Donor Relations here at Wentworth.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
So much. We've got a great show for you today. So this is our first episode back of Witworks Radio from the new semester. So I hope everyone is back in their groove, feeling good this semester. Just a quick announcement before we get started. We're actually moving to a once a month schedule. So if you're used to tuning in every week, look for us once a month. Check our Twitter to see when we're actually going to be streaming our episode, and you can of course always listen as a podcast on the website. So today we're talking about, we've got a bunch of students who are about to graduate in April and even more who are going to be graduating in August. And it means that they're going to be doing a full-time job search and becoming an alumni. So we invited Eric here to talk a little bit about engaging with alumni. And we're also going to talk today about how, before we get started on, you know, engaging with alumni and working with alumni, we wanted to go over a little bit about how your full-time job search is actually going to be different than a co-op search. So, Rhea, what are the major differences that you can think of between the full-time from co-op?
Yes. So we actually have a handout about this called Full-Time Job Search, which I don't have in front of me. I have in front of me. The first thing to think about is the length of time. So typically you start your co-op search maybe a semester ahead of when you want to go out. Full-time job search can take a little bit longer. Varies on the industry, the market, and the area that you're searching for. But if you're graduating in August, it's best to start your job search now, really. Other thing that's different is you'll probably send a little bit more applications out. You will probably spend more time interviewing. So basically, it's just a bigger time commitment, I'd say. Yeah. Anything you'd add to that, Eric, that you could think of?
So I always liken getting a new job to like giving birth, believe it or not. It takes about 9 months.
Yeah.
Because you figure when you apply, it's about 30 days before they typically close. In my experience, they close the job search and then they start interviewing. So don't expect to hear. Sometimes you hear back right away and you're really lucky.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 30 days before you hear back.
Mm.
And then the higher up you get, the longer the interview process takes.
Mm-hmm.
And then checking references and things. So unlike co-ops where it moves, I think, a lot faster.
Definitely.
It can take up to 9 months to find a job.
Yeah.
So time, but also think about the other factors there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it actually takes a little while to figure out what you want your application materials to look like. So you're going to apply to a couple jobs, but you might start getting into it and realize that you're really interested in a slightly different type of job than you've been applying for. So then you have to update your materials, and that's when you might start getting some traction on hearing back because you really are more invested. So it even takes a month to sort of figure it out, even what works for you and what you're looking to do.
Yeah, and it's really important for the full-time job search to really target that resume for the positions you're applying for. Because in a lot of cases, the first thing that's going to look at your resume is an applicant tracking system. So it actually scans your resume for keywords that match the job description. So it's really important to think about the keywords and skills that people from your industry are looking for and include those in your resume.
Mm. And I think it's important that every single resume and cover letter be unique as well. And I make this mistake. I'm perfectly guilty of just changing the title and changing the address on the top and then sending it. But the more customized it is to the job description, both your resume and your cover letter, and even your references, if you get to that point, you want references that speak the best to the skills that they want in that job, not necessarily references that know you the best or speak the best about you.
That's such great advice. That really is super important. Sometimes when I'm a reference and I get a question about something that I've never really supervised a person on or something, I'm always a little confused about what to say because that wasn't my area of expertise with that individual.
Another big piece that's different between the full-time job search and co-op is the salary negotiation. Typically, we recommend students do not negotiate salary for co-op, but with full-time job search, it's a necessity. So definitely be prepared to do that by looking at all our resources and chatting with your co-op and career advisor.
The other thing you bring up is a good point. When I have references, I actually send them the job description and say, these are the five or six things I think that they might ask and the things that I'd like you to highlight about me. And I give different things to different people. So I might have a different one supervisor talk about my how independent and what a great idea person I am, where another person who is a reference of mine, I would have speak about, you know, how diligent I am about getting things done. So the references, when they speak about you, can accent different things that you're really good at and really maybe enhance your ability to get a higher salary and be the candidate that's chosen.
That's great. Yeah, that's especially important to give them some speaking points, because then you really do their job for them. You know, being a reference for someone can be a lot of work, but if you help them out in that way, it makes them want to do it for you again.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So I think that those are some really great, those are important highlights to cover. And it, you know, for the most part, you are doing the similar steps, but it's just a little bit more in depth. It's a little bit more intense, and there's more at stake for you with this search, I think. But like a co-op search, you actually, you know, you have access to alumni.
Right. And we have 38,000 Wentworth
38,000 alumni.
Well, I think that number is about to go up again.
Okay.
Because we have two graduating classes coming. And so many of those alumni, our alumni, if you have ever been to the co-op and career fair here at Wentworth, our alumni like to hire Wentworth graduates, Wentworth alumni, as their you know, as their employees, not just for the co-op. So our alumni will tell you, and they've told me over and over and over again, their favorite people to hire are people that were trained at Wentworth because they know how to solve problems and they actually get work done as opposed to thinking conceptually. They compare us frequently to other schools that might be next door to Wentworth where those students are conceptual and they like to think about conceptually how to solve a problem, not actually get the work done to solve that problem.
Right.
And so, and I don't know that that's actually true. I think it's that if you were taught in the same model as your supervisor, then your supervisor is more likely to be able to identify and be able to give you assignments without having to give you a lot more direction. And that's really helpful.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I didn't even think about that, but there is really something to be said about that supervisor learning style match. And a lot of us who are out there and they're searching and we're not working with our people from our same institution, you are learning how that person learns, how that person understands things. But I can actually remember specifically one of the first people I supervised, she was an alumna from my institution, and I knew exactly how to approach something with her.
Exactly.
So that's really valuable, yeah. A piece I hadn't even thought about.
Certain personalities, and this is all about marketing, and it's funny, Wentworth launched its brand new brand today, the University of Now.
Yes.
And Wentworth attracts a certain type of student. My alma mater attracted a certain type of student, and each of yours did as well. That type of student, there's a personality to every campus. And if you can already have learned over 4 years how to communicate with that personality, it makes it that much easier to communicate and your working style when you're a professional.
So that's one huge advantage to working, to seeking out an alumni. So what are other reasons that students would want to engage with a Wentworth alumni in their job search?
So Wentworth alumni make amazing mentors. And Wentworth alumni, so it's interesting, we joke in our office that Wentworth built Boston and builds Boston and is building Boston. On our alumni board, we have people who are architects, interior designers, electrical engineers, mechanical engineers. And it's always interesting when they're going to do a job and they're working right now on TD Garden. One of our alumni is working as the project manager on TD Garden. And when he went to call in somebody, it happens to be that the interior designer that he's working with is a Wentworth alumna. So it's not just to get a job. It's that when you're working on major projects or jobs, you will be amazed that one of those people is a Wentworth alumna or alumnus. So alumnus is a male graduate, and alumna is a female graduate. So an alumnus or alumna might actually be working on your job. And you have a tendency to go back to the same contractors over and over and over again for flooring or for carpeting or for your HVAC system. So it's not just to get your job. It's because those are people that you then can rely on when you're working on a project or a build. And it's more than just a build. It's interesting. Our computer science folks say the same thing. Charlie Wiseman is one of our professors here, and he talks about how alumni are constantly working on projects with other alumni. In fact, Will Sargent, one of our very young alumni, I think he's class of 2018, he is on the alumni board, and he always talks about how fascinating it is to him how often he runs into other Wentworth alumni running the IT systems at major projects around the city.
Oh, sure. I can only imagine. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it would be a great opportunity to tap into that network, to find mentors and learn about various aspects of the industry or gain insight into specific companies that you might be interested in. And what would be the best way to kind of reach out to people?
So there are a lot of different things. The first, probably the most important thing, is make sure that Wentworth is listed as your educational institution on LinkedIn.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then also I would consider following Wentworth on the Wentworth Alumni Office, and it's Wentworth at Wentworth Alumni Office on Instagram and on Facebook. There isn't much of a Twitter presence. And the alumni office works closely with the co-ops and careers office on posting jobs and posting information on our LinkedIn and on our Facebook. We also have, all of our alumni have access to WITWorks to post jobs and to apply for jobs. So I would say the first thing is LinkedIn. The second thing is Facebook and Instagram. And thirdly, make sure that your information is up to date with the Wentworth Alumni Office. You can email alumni@wit.edu or go to www.alumni.wit.edu and update your information there, because there's a monthly email newsletter that goes out. We frequently send emails with events where you can meet alumni, opportunities that are coming up. There's an email going out today about our new brand. So if your information is up to date, you can continue to get information from Wentworth. And some of our alumni say that all they get are emails asking for money, and I promise you they're not. You know, we send hundreds of emails a year that have wonderful news stories on what alumni are doing, what our students are doing, and opportunities for alumni to connect with each other.
That's great. What type of events would you say are you emailing about?
There's events. So there's an event in Naples, Florida, next Thursday night at the Port Royal Club, which is a really fancy country club, and that is an event for alumni, family, and friends, including there are two prospective students coming with their parents.
Wow. Oh, very cool.
The board chair is going down for that. Mm-hmm. The president goes to those events, so those events are typically an update on the college from the president.
Mm-hmm.
We also do young alumni networking events. We do events on campus where we offer opportunities for alumni and students to interact with each other and maybe learn networking etiquette, which we did one of those this past year, or learn other things that we think are valuable to alumni. We also are doing virtual events that are launching in the next 3 months.
That's
and
exciting.
Those are lectures, and lectures are happening on campus that we've curated a bunch of them. And the lecture is pre-recorded, but then you get a chance to ask questions live of the professor.
Oh, wow.
I love that.
It's so much fun. I can't wait for it to launch. So those are some of the events.
Yeah.
And so some are virtual and some are actually in person all around the country.
Nice.
And some are on campus.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. That's so cool. And as you mentioned, we have Wentworth alumni who come to the career fair, and they come. I wish I had pulled the numbers before we got here. I wish I could tell you like how many alumni are posting jobs every week on WITWorks.
Yeah.
But we are getting them all the time. And it's, you know, when you go to the career fair, the alumni are actually wearing a badge. So you can see them right out the gate. You know that they're an alumni, and you know that you can go talk to them about Wentworth specifically, which I think is really great if you're not sure. I think that's a great place to get started with speaking with alumni if you're not sure about how to reach out, because you can see, I think that face-to-face conversation might be easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, what about informational interviews, Rhea? How would a student, if a student wanted to have an informational interview about a company where an alumni was working, how would they go about doing that?
I usually recommend that they start at LinkedIn. And there's actually a tab on the Wentworth Institute page where you can search alumni. There's an alumni tab. You go in there, you put in the name of the company or the industry, or if you have the name of a person, and then you can ask them to connect right there. Is that how you would recommend?
Completely. I think, well, that's probably the, if you don't know somebody, if you do know somebody, reach out to them directly.
Definitely.
And I would say with probably an email, and I would probably make it a formal email. So dear, you know, Mr. or Mrs. last name, I'm reaching out to speak to you about an informational interview. My name is, insert your name. I have a degree in this from Wentworth with this year. Would it be possible to schedule a time to speak? Sincerely, comma, you know, your first name. And I say the whole thing because our alumni office frequently gets emails from alumni and students that aren't formatted in a more, in such a formal way. And when you're asking for an informational interview, you want to make sure that it feels like a business interaction and not a text message to a friend.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, because you're asking for a favor and you want to be professional about that.
Right.
So now the student, they've made that contact. They know this human. They've spoke with them and they decide they really like them. How does one to go about turning a contact from just a contact into a mentor?
So I think, I guess I'm going to take a stab at that. So I have some people will volunteer to be your mentor.
Sure.
But most of them won't. And in our business, you don't get anything unless you ask. So I would say to the student to try something to this effect. You know, dear Rhea, or Rhea, this has been such an amazing conversation. I've learned so much about you, what you do in your profession, in co-ops and careers. I need somebody like you in my life. Would it be okay if I rely on you as a mentor and email you from time to time, or maybe schedule regular calls or emails to ask you questions that to help me stay on track in my career because I value you so much and what I've learned from this conversation. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that something like that. So ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compliment.
Yeah.
And make sure that you set a schedule or a time and ask permission on how to contact them. Is it email? Is it text? Is it phone call? Yeah.
Right.
That's definitely a great way to go about it. I'd say if you are intimidated about that or feel like awkward about asking, you can also like share information back to them. So say you had this great conversation and you see an article like a week or so later that's relevant. You can send that to them and just kind of start a kind of a back and forth and a little bit more organically where you're sharing information, something that you read or saw like made you think of them, and you can kind of do it that way too. But I like Eric's way because
I'm
it's
really
a little
direct.
More upfront.
Yeah, that was great. I'm a big fan of the just direct ask too of I'm really interested in you being my mentor. Like I think most of my mentors I've just come out right and said I've learned so much, I would love to learn from you more regularly. With a little bit more finesse than just that.
And mentors come and go and come again.
Yeah.
I have mentors in my life that I didn't need to speak to them for you know, years at a time. And then I reached back out to them because something came up. And I don't think you could ever have enough mentors because every mentor brings a different, something small or something big that might be different from somebody else.
And I don't think it matters, you know, you can learn from somebody who graduated a year ahead of you and all the way to 20 or 30 years ahead of you. And so I think when you're looking for a mentor, you're looking for what you can learn from that person, not necessarily the experience that they have.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Because again, somebody who graduated last year could have a ton of experience. I think, I mean, our students are so incredible that they could be, you could be learning from a student sitting right next to you actually.
Right. I also think it's important, remember that you too could be a mentor, no matter how old or young you are.
Mm-hmm.
I have there's a student, Tess, who works in our office as a work-study student. She has taught me so much this semester, it's amazing. And not that, I don't know that I would call that a mentor relationship, but I have learned a lot from her, and she's going to make an amazing mentor to a younger person. So typically I think younger person seeking an older mentor or a similar age, but don't be afraid to teach them something as well.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, that's great advice. So you mentioned that there's an alumni board, and it sounds like there's a wide range of folks on that board.
There is.
How does a student, a recent graduate, get involved with the alumni office?
So I think there are a number of ways. First of all, like I said, make sure your information is updated with us and get engaged via Facebook and LinkedIn. We have a lot of young alumni who show up at our events, hand me their business card, and say, I want to get involved. We have a whole series of volunteering opportunities on our website. Okay, again, alumni.wit.edu. You can be a social media ambassador. You can be one of our, we frequently are asked to get alumni to do surveys and things. So we have a group of people that are just willing to help us with Wentworth stuff. We have an admissions program rolling out. We have a mentoring program that is going to be rolling out spring that we are still working out the details on. We have class agents that collect class notes. And then we frequently need people to come and do things on campus with us. Just show up at an event and be willing to mix and mingle and help us with the name tag table. Nice. So I would say you can email alumni@wit.edu and say, I'm interested in volunteering. We have alumni come back on campus on a very regular basis to speak to classes. Mm. So I would say also stay in touch with your favorite professors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know one of my professors just, you know, published her fifth book. One of my college professors who's, she is one of my mentors. And, you know, she's in her late 70s and she's publishing another book and she needed my help as a reader for her. It was a historical fiction novel. And I was like, wow, this is so cool.
That's so cool.
So I think just stay in touch with those professors because some of them will be your mentors, but also you can help them for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make a quick plug for staying involved with alumni. As an alum from my alma mater, I attended a mini local career fair staffed by other alum. And that's how I ended up here in my dream job. So, in a kind of a roundabout way. And I also used my career center after graduating. So we, as your corporate career center, is also available to you after you graduate. So definitely keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, I love that. I forgot to mention the Wentworth Alumni Association, the WAA. They are a separate entity that supports Wentworth was founded by alumni years ago.
I had no idea.
And they are legally separate with their own endowment and everything.
Wow.
And they're a liaison to us. But if you are interested, you can, again, go to alumni.wit.edu and you can search WAA or Wentworth Alumni Association. In order to run on their board, you have to show up to two meetings and then you can run for election.
Oh.
And we have lots of openings. They help us with events. They help us with volunteering. They help us with a golf tournament that we have.
I honestly thought they were just part of the Institute. I had no idea it was a homegrown alumni organization. That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're a separate group that loves Wentworth.
I love
it. And we can always use extra people on there, even if you can't be an elected member and just want to come to meetings to help. We can always use that assistance for sure. And it's interesting. It's the other thing is, remember when you are a more seasoned alumnus or alumna, that you should hire Wentworth graduates as well. Yes. I've hired a number of people from my alma mater. In fact, somebody here at Wentworth who I hired, his mom and I went to college together.
Mm.
And so I hired him. He did go through the process and compete against everybody else. But, you know, it's... helpful, and I have provided internships, paid and unpaid internships, throughout my career for graduates from my alma mater.
Mm.
And I think that it's amazing how you sort of make that transition from desperately needing help and going on finding informational interviews to all of a sudden you're the person giving the informational interviews and providing the internships.
Yeah.
And that transition is interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely want to echo what Eric has said about alumni hiring, wanting to hire Wentworth students. When we get calls from employers in our office, they're like, yeah, you know, I went to Wentworth and I'd love to hire someone else from Wentworth. We just recently got an email from someone who graduated just last year who wanted to come and do a info session to talk about his new company with Wentworth students. So it really is a great pipeline and a great organization to get involved with in terms of connecting with alumni.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think I've mentioned this before, but my husband is an alumni and his company was sort of evenly split between a bunch of different schools that are competitors of Wentworth for construction and civil engineers. And Wentworth has wholeheartedly taken over that company now, and they are just the vast majority of people who are hiring. And of course, all of his colleagues are out there advocating to hire more Wentworth students by the hour, basically.
Right.
And I don't think that's an exaggeration. It's not just his company. I think it's so many companies here in the Boston area.
I agree, especially in the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we're kind of coming to a close, but I did want to say, like, where are our alumni located? I know that there's a large...
Talk about that.
Yeah. I know that we have a huge stakehold here in the New England region.
Right. So where 90% of our alumni... well, no, it's not 90. It's closer. So there's just a recent shift in the past 2 years. So I've been here 2 years. So I would say 80% of our alumni are within an hour and a half drive of Boston.
Okay. Oh, wow.
The largest single alumni group is in Quincy.
Oh, wow.
The second largest group is here in Boston.
Okay.
And then we sort of circle the suburbs of Boston with where we have a lot of other alumni. In Medford and then Framingham, we have a large group in Framingham. Sure. Area. Well, so when I say a city, it's because that's the biggest city within a 20-mile radius
sure.
of a group of alumni. We have a large group of alumni in New York City. Mm-hmm. We have a large group of alumni in the Naples, Florida area.
Interesting.
We have a growing group of alumni in California, specifically near San Jose, which is really, really interesting. And then Hartford, and then Port Smith. New Hampshire, and then Portland, Maine.
Okay.
And Providence, Rhode Island is growing. So again, if you think New England, it's not, maybe New England is too broad. A smattering of Vermont, but a lot in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut.
Coastal New England.
And Maine, correctly. Yeah. The southern part of Maine.
Sure, sure.
So that's really interesting when people ask, because we looked at doing a series of events. We have, you know, this great little group in Detroit. We have a wonderful group out on the West Coast up in Oregon. So it's just always interesting where you're going to find them.
Yeah.
But those are groups of 10 to 12 people or 14, whereas New York City has a few hundred. Mm-hmm. Florida has a few hundred. And, you know, Boston, I think there's 500 people with a Quincy address. And 400 some people with a Boston city address.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're all
What's
over.
In Naples, Florida? That's interesting.
So I think it's a retirement community for wealthy folks.
Oh.
Is the impression I get.
There are a lot of development happening down that area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have one alumnus who flies up from Florida for the career fair every year who's doing a lot of building.
Okay.
So there's a lot. Eric Hamill, I think, is his name.
Oh.
And he just is constantly trying to hire Wentworth alumni because they can't get enough people to help them build the developments on that coast.
Wow.
Okay.
As fast
okay.
as they're needed. So wow. there are jobs in Florida.
Warm weather.
Does he want any co-ops?
Yes, he does, actually.
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. And we have an employee who their title is external relations specialist, and their whole role is, you know, they're working on employer relations and making sure that our relationships with our employers are healthy, but one of the bigger focuses is actually expanding our employer relationships beyond the New England region. And mm-hmm. so look to see those. I hope we see the spidering of alumni growing outside of New England so that Detroit group can be bigger than a small crowd.
Right.
And, you know, maybe we have maybe the next time we talk, we're going to have a Chicago group and a Seattle right. group, Austin, Texas, I hope. Yeah. So
we do have Arizona. We have a group in Arizona that's doing
fantastic.
Pretty well. Yeah.
That's great. So, I mean, the alumni are growing mm-hmm. every year. More right. alumni are coming.
Yeah, and whenever I talk to students who want to find jobs outside of New England area, I have them look at alumni who live in that area.
Right.
And it's a great place to start.
Yeah, yeah. And you can always contact Co-ops and Careers and our office or our office. We work really closely together
mm-hmm.
As offices. We're just, you know, upstairs from each, up and downstairs from each other.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you have an event you want to hold, you're thinking of, reach out to us. You want to post a job, reach out to us. We'll figure it out between the two offices, I think.
Right. I know the other thing that came up recently at a Wentworth Alumni Association board meeting was we have a lot of professional associations, and I know you wanted to talk about
yes,
that.
Yes, thank
there's
you.
There's a Women in Health in Real Estate, and they're hoping to host an October program here on Wentworth's campus. So there is that, and I know there are a whole bunch of other major professional associations, and Wentworth alumni have a tendency to be very involved with them. In fact, be on the board and run many of those.
Sure.
That's great.
So you may have more experience than that with those? I know the Electrical Union and the Carpenters Union have a lot of Wentworth alumni in them.
Yeah, I would think that that's true. The American Society of Civil Engineers, and this is just we have a huge list. We have a resource. It's called Job Search and Networking. That's on our website. I am not going to read this full list of associations to everybody here. But the American Society of Civil Engineers is a very active one. The American Society of Mechanical Engineers is really active. The Boston Society of Architects. I bet you'd find a lot of a Wentworth alumni on that.
IEEE.
National Society of Black Engineers. We have a very active NSBE. Very active NSBE group here on campus. So going outside of campus, it gets even more active. SHIP, which is Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers, is also really active here on campus and is active in the community outside of campus. So those are some really, I think, there's a professional organization for every single one of your majors.
Right.
So check out our website to see the exact thing. And did you say IEEE?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. They're super, super active here on campus and also off campus. And then SWE, I think Society of Women Engineers, is a big one.
Very involved, yeah.
So those are the highlights.
NECA is another one, National Electrical Contractors Association.
Yep, NECA is very involved.
Interesting. Here's one on here. This is the first time I'm hearing this professional organization, but I like it. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Boston Tech Community.
Oh, interesting.
I love that. Yeah. So check those out. I think those are those are the good ones.
Also check out STEAM Boston.
STEAM.
There are a number of alumni who founded that. It's a website. They do networking. They're really cool.
They are.
They've been very engaged with us. In fact, I think I have a meeting with them coming up on Thursday. And they are just really fascinating alumni. And it's good just to get involved with those.
Yeah.
Now, when you go to these meetings, it's really important to understand how to network.
Definitely.
And I know that that's another thing that we wanted to make sure we covered today.
Sure.
So what do you think about networking, Abby?
So I think that the important piece about networking is that, first of all, everybody there is nervous, not just you. So don't get out of your head when you're there. I think that's the first important thing to think is just everybody is nervous. But the most important thing when I go to a networking event is I sort of have a goal in mind of what I'm trying to learn. And I'm not out there telling everybody what my goal to try and learn, but I'm looking for people who I can ask questions. And I think that's the most important part, is to be interested in the people that you're speaking with. And so before you go networking, sometimes there's a list of people who will be there from the and what organizations they work for. And when that list is there, I think that that's super helpful, because you can go look through and find the types of people that you actually want to speak with. And then go find them and say, hey, I saw you were going to be here. I'm really excited to meet you. I've been following your company for a while. I'd love to learn more about it. Or it could be something super simple of like, hey, I see you on Twitter all the time. I love to play soccer. I saw you love to play soccer.
Right.
What it doesn't have to be professional right out the gate. It just has to be relevant to the person.
Right.
Is that?
I think that's great. I think there are a few things that I think. First of all, have business cards, even if you make your own, that have your name, phone number, and email address. So make sure you have those. Before you go, eat something.
Yes.
And take a deep breath, shoulders back, and big smile before you walk into the room. Remember, you are not there for dinner. You're there to network. It's okay to have some food, but your main goal should be set a number of people that you want to meet, or set a group of people. And don't be too focused on meeting an exact person that you think is going to be there, because they may not show up. They may get stuck on the orange line.
Yeah.
Or something else. So I think that's that. And make sure to also, if you give a business card, ask for a business card. And the big key is follow up after. I just did a networking event, and a bunch of people didn't have business cards, so I took pictures of their name tags. I said, may I take a picture of your name tag? And then I looked them up on LinkedIn and messaged each one of them.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And actually, another thing that I've done in the past, too, is if I don't have the business card or they didn't have the business card, I would just right there pull up my phone and say, can we connect on LinkedIn right now?
Oh, love that.
And so then it's already done. You don't have to worry about it.
And if you have the LinkedIn app, there's even a setting where you can turn on who's around me.
Oh,
and so
you're
can
right.
See,
we've done that. Yeah.
Who's around you, who's on LinkedIn, if you're at a big event like that.
And one trick that I always do, there's a lot of drinking that happens at networking events. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't drink my drink. I have one. I walk around with it. It can be soda and a lime. It doesn't even have to have alcohol in it. Right. But I always have a full drink in my hand. And that's the key, is because people are going to be offering, like, can I get you a drink? Can I do this? And you might want to feel like you're kind of part of that, but it's not always a good idea to be drinking and networking. And mm-hmm. so have a full drink in your hand that you don't drink, I think is a, you know, is a helpful tip, because then you won't feel like you're missing out on anything.
I typically limit myself to one drink with alcohol, and then I keep my wine glass and I ask them to put soda water in it or seltzer in it, because then it still looks like a glass of wine to most people.
Exactly.
And then I don't really like soda water or seltzer, so I don't drink it, but it Perfect. Still looks like you have a full drink in your hand. And I've had a glass of wine, which makes me feel like, okay, I've had my glass of wine, I feel good.
Yeah, sure. So. Totally.
Great tips.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anything to add, Rhea, for tips?
Yeah, I think having a good, feel approachable with a nice smile. I think a firm handshake is great. Mm-hmm. Practice that handshake. That's something that we do in Co-op Institute, and I think right. it's important, because you don't want a death grip, but you also don't right. want like a limp noodle.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I would also say practice your little elevator pitch too. What you want people to know you for, because right. people mm-hmm. are there to network with you too. And you're not the only one networking.
I went to a networking seminar that I learned a few things, and make sure you're dressed appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So dress, you know, as nicely as you can. You don't have to wear a tux. Very few of those are tuxes. But the other thing is, remember that you don't want to hog somebody's time. You want to leave yourself open for other people to come in. And if somebody else walks up, introduce yourself to that person, and then introduce them to the person that you're trying to connect with. And that makes the person you want to connect with feel really good. Oh, they remembered my name. They remembered my title. And they're not just here to hog my time. They're here to network with multiple people. Mm-hmm. So make sure that make yourself a horseshoe, not a bagel.
Yes.
So don't ever be in a closed circle. And if you're the one closing the circle, you can be the smart one that opens a circle so other people can approach you. And don't spend the entire time talking to your friends.
Yes.
Split up. Find
yes.
other people.
Yes. Yeah. Okay to go with your friends, but leave each other. Exactly. They'll be there at the end of the night.
Exactly.
Yeah. Make a plan. And if you need to make a plan to meet back up and check in with right. each other, do that. There's nothing wrong with that.
We also had a signal if somebody was over, and I do this in my day job too, if somebody is overusing my time and I need to escape, I will pull on my ear or scratch my ear multiple times, and one of my staff will come up and say, we need you at the name tag table. If you are worried about somebody being a talker, work out a cue with one of your friends and say, hey, John, do you want to get a drink? And then you say, sure, let me go to the bar and get one with you. Thank you so much. It was be sure to thank the person you were talking to, but it's okay to cut some talkers off on occasion.
Yeah.
As a fellow talker knows.
Sometimes you get on a roll. We are all there, but you know, it's finding that balance that's really key. And we're here to help you with all of that. If you have any questions, we're here. And again, look for the events where Alumni Relations and Co-ops and Careers are partnering to offer these networking etiquette and networking practice and right. bringing alumni on campus, because that's a little bit less stressful. Mm-hmm. Those alumni know you're practicing.
Correct. Yeah. And they want to practice with you or help you practice.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And it's going to lead somewhere good regardless.
Right.
Great.
This has been fantastic.
Yeah.
You're
so much fun.
I'm so glad you're here. We have just a few announcements. Rhea, are there any Co-op Institute Plus sessions that you have the dates for yet?
We don't have any exact dates yet, but that will be coming out end of January.
Great. And is it still open to any student? Or
definitely.
Great. So check the Twitter, watch our website. We put it up on the campus website calendar and the Co-ops and Careers website calendar. So as soon as those dates are released, we'll get them out there on the internet and share them about. We do have one date that we can share. The Co-op and Career Fair is Tuesday, March 17th. And so we're going to be pushing that a lot because it is the Tuesday after you return from spring break. So don't be surprised when you hear about the Co-op and Career Fair for the next 8 weeks.
I have one more thing to add that you make me think of.
Yeah.
If you were a student at Wentworth and you hear about an alumni event that you really want to go to, contact our office. Sometimes we're looking for students to come and represent Wentworth. It happens all the time. And if we don't know that you want to be one of those students that goes to an alumni event, then we don't have you on our list. So don't be afraid to ask the alumni office to help as well if you're a student seeking to go.
Oh, fantastic.
Where's your office, Eric?
We are in Wentworth 209 next to the elevator.
Very good.
Great. So directly above our office. So really easy. And we will include the contact information in the episode description for alumni relations.
Perfect.
So that
Thank you. You
can just go to our website and check out how to email alumni.
Perfect.
The alumni department. I think that's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. This is great.
Thank you so much.
So like I said, we'll be back in February. We haven't set our exact schedule, but like I said, we're going to a once a month schedule. So we'll get a rhyme or reason to that schedule once we work out the kinks, but bear with us. And have a great January.
Yeah.